day.
Thank you.
Now, as we mentioned before, many students have been left stranded or isolated because of the virus and can't return to their studies. How might institutions have trouble delivering online education, especially on this mass scale?
Well, the thing is that online learning is already an important aspect of modern education. And schools around the world already kind of provide some kind of online learning in the form of apps or platforms or some kind of blended provision, which is a mix of online or face-to-face. And so there is already kind of a system in place to offer online provision to students. But the thing is that educational technology, online learning has generally struggled to take off over the past years. And there is an appeal to the face-to-face experience in education, which is quite durable and quite resistant to change. So what is happening now with the coronavirus is that many people in education in China as well as abroad here in Australia are seeing this as an opportunity. And of course, the crisis is first and foremost a public health issue. But some are seeing some opportunities for educational technology to finally take off at a global scale. We have, like you said, probably the largest student population in the world currently unable to attend local schools or unable to travel to the university of choice in Australia or in other parts of the world. And local governments in China are already trying to bring education to the students through various forms of online provision. And universities in Australia and in other parts of the world are boosting their online capabilities to try to address the crisis. And so we are really, according to some, basically at a sort of a pivotal, a tipping point. That's what some people are saying, something that might actually finally help push educational technology into the mainstream.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Of course, there are some questions in terms of what might that look like. There are some resistance. There is still some resistance to education technology, to digital technology among students. And it is not clear how effective very often digital provision is. There are still some questions that are unanswered in that regard.
Why is there some pushback from the students to carry out these studies online? Why do you think there is this pushback?
Yeah, well, the reasons are complicated. You know, there's a lot of research that has been done on the reasons why educational technology struggles to take off despite significant investment from the private sector as well as from institutions. So there is an interest, in pushing educational technology and the promises in terms of expanding provision, bringing education to parts of the world where there are some, it's difficult otherwise in terms of infrastructure or resources to have appropriate provision. So there's definitely a lot of promise and a lot of interest, and it's been like that for a number of years. But there is something about the face-to-face experience that indeed is quite difficult to replace.
Yeah.
And in terms of actual efficacy of the online provision is just still not quite there in terms of effectiveness. So there is still some way to go in terms of bringing the quality of the experience to the same level as the face-to-face experience. And then there are also other issues, like, for example, in China, local governments try to use an online app to bring educational e-classes to students, and students were quite angry actually about that prospect because they're enjoying their forced vacation.
Yeah.
So they started giving bad reviews, to the app on the online stores, and that basically in an attempt to push it out of online searches. So it's complicated, yeah. But
that's quite the activism. Now, just before you leave, because we are running out of time, but we're seeing this shift into online education because of the coronavirus. As you mentioned just before, that it's kind of a pivotal a tipping point moment. But once this crisis passes, do you think we'll go back to normal traditional face-to-face style, or do you think we might see a rise in more online technology, online learning?
Well, what we might see is that certain parts of the region in Asia will probably benefit from the crisis. You know, that sounds quite contradictory, but this might actually happen. So in terms of online provision, there might be actually a growth in some parts of the region, those that already have the infrastructure in place, for example. But it's not going to be an even landscape. Mm-hmm. And what it actually might look like, you know, it's not at all certain. You know, in some cases it might go back to normal, or in some other cases we might have a more kind of robust response system. So universities might develop an ability to move online quickly when they need to do that, and then go back to normal when sort of the situation goes back to normal. And what might actually that look like, whether we have a more mainstream adoption or a more robust response system, will depend on a number of factors, and not least the existing infrastructure in many of these regions.
It's definitely shaking up the system. Thank you so much for taking your time to talk with us. Thank you. That was Dr. Carlo Perotta, Senior Lecturer in Math, Science and Technology at Monash University, speaking to us here on The Daily about the impact of the quarantine of the coronavirus has had on international students returning to their studies here in Australia, and a shift to online learning that may result in no students missing out on their education. It's quite an interesting one, the shake-up. It reminds me actually of, I think, maybe it's not a black or white. We do need a bit of online education, not just for crisis situations like the coronavirus, but also when students are sick, like that example of the amazing teacher Eddie Wu, who started his videos just because of a student that was sick. So maybe we just have to be a bit flexible. It's interesting. Let us know what you think. We're at 2SER, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Let's hop back into the music. This one is I Want to Know, Tracy McNeil and The Good Life. Morning.